Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us in allowing us the privilege to teach children to read. Please teach us to honor you with this great privilege. And we ask for your blessing on this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. To teach you how to read in just 50 minutes is nearly impossible, or teach you to teach reading in nearly 50 minutes. I hope you know how to read. But I hope you'll walk away today understanding some of the essential foundations, tools, and methods to be able to teach a systematic reading program. And we'll leave with some practical knowledge that you can take home and some resources to use in your schools. Well, if we desire for these children to become wise, able to discern various worldviews, recognize false philosophies, to become godly leaders in our culture who will instruct future generations, then we need to teach this generation to love words, and especially God's Word. To teach reading with these goals in mind, you need to be convinced that there's a system and an order in which we teach this subject. Our culture thinks the contrary, don't they? In past years, I've been sharing some articles that have been in our local newspaper to encourage our local area to have children reading by age 9. Well, during the 5 years that these articles were published, I've written down some of the causes that have been stated for why children are not reading today, and here are some of them. One group blames poor teaching. Well, that could be true. Another blames large classes. And some years ago, a researcher blamed the bomb. Children living downwind from U.S. nuclear test sites could not read as well as those living elsewhere. And then there's the airport theory. Children living in the flight paths of major airports read more poorly than those who don't. I think our school's in a lot of trouble because the planes fly right over it. It's obvious why children aren't reading today and won't be in the future. Yet, teaching reading is not something new. People were taught to read well for centuries before Horace Mann, or I call him Horrible Mann, in 1840, created that whole language approach to reading. You see, for centuries, children were taught to read very well without a lot of fancy materials. The truth is, teaching reading is not difficult. The truth is, there's a system and there are foundations on which to teach this subject. And as grammar teachers, we are responsible for teaching these foundations in order to prepare our grammar students for the dialectic years when they should be analyzing and debating what they read. So, what's the system? What are the foundations? Well, there are 10 of them, and you'll find them in the front page of your packet. And actually, a more detailed explanation of each of these foundations are in your packet as well. The first foundation is letter recognition and application, and this begins in your kindergarten years when the children are identifying and writing letters and identifying the sounds of them. Foundation 2, phonics, which you teach in grades kindergarten through second grade. It's the identification and demonstration of the application of terminology such as vowels, consonants, diphthongs, digraphs, and so forth. Foundation 3, structural analysis. This enables children to decode unfamiliar words by using units larger than single graphemes. In other words, some examples of this would be prefixes, suffixes, contractions, compound words. 4, capitalization and punctuation. 5, vocabulary skills. These begin in kindergarten in grade 1 with those rule breakers, or as we might know them as sight words. But this includes also definitions of words, synonyms, homonyms, antonyms. Foundation 6 is structural analysis. Structural elements and parts of speech. This is the identification and usage of phrases, sentences, paragraphs, forms of English usage, parts of speech, such as if you use the Shirley Grammar Method, that takes care of that, and the formation of research papers. 7 is comprehension, skills such as learning how to find details, using inference, cause and effect, predictions. We'll talk about those later. Foundation 8, oral reading. And I've included an example of a sheet which we will also talk about later, which is in your packet. 9, literary types and forms. Examples of types: fiction, poetry, ballads, myths, etc. Forms would be alliteration, personification, metaphors, hyperboles. And last, the last foundation, number 10, is study skills. And we often forget about these. But this would be alphabetizing, usage of the dictionary, summarizing, skimming, scanning, outlining. Now, you might memorize all of these this summer and think you're ready to go, but still not know specifically what you're supposed to teach for the grade level that you have. What study skills are taught in grade 2 or 4? What parts of speech are taught in grade 3? And how do you know what skills you're missing or not instructing? And how do you know what the teacher next year will be instructing? What skills should you instruct for your grade if your school uses novels as a means of teaching reading? Well, if you don't know, then skills will be instructed hit or miss. But when reading is approached systematically, and again, it is a system, there should be objectives of skills for each of these foundations. We saw this need and constructed a scope and sequence of readings and writing skills for each grade level. This is one sheet from the scope and sequence of reading skills from our school. If you want to see the rest of those foundations, they're on the table at our Rockbridge Academy's table. This slide is a structural analysis foundation with skills for each grade level. A copy is also in your packet. If you're an administrator, equip your teachers with a scope and sequence of skills. Otherwise, your teachers will be shooting in the dark. If you're bound to or closely follow a particular publisher, I would recommend that you take a close look at your series to determine what skills you might be missing. Are you going to rely on a publisher who doesn't understand our vision, who doesn't know classical Christian education, to tell you what you should be teaching? I hope not. Remember, we are rebuilding. And remember, our vision is to teach this generation to love words and love God's word. Our instruction should look different from our cultures. Now, each of the 10 foundations and the skills with each of these foundations are not separate entities. After the child has mastered letter recognition and phonics, the first two foundations, then the remaining 8 foundations should be instructed. Now, practically speaking, you can't spend all day checking off lists of skills. And I don't have time to go behind the teachers and check off their checklists. But remember, these skills are guidelines to give your program a sense of order. But you as a teacher should tuck those skills in your memory and know them. Know that they're there for your grade level, and then deliberately look for ways in which you can teach many of the foundational skills and integrate them in your lessons, and not just in reading. You can do it in Bible, science, any of your subjects. This is a grade 3 lesson plan that's in your packet as well. It's from chapter 2 of the book, The Great Brain, and it's written according to the 7 laws of teaching. Now, we're going to look now at the integration of foundations within one lesson, one reading lesson. Let's look at the review section, which is the second column down. And here are some questions in that review section. Who is the main character in this book? In what person is this book written? How many chapters are in this book? In what state does this book take place? Can you tell me what foundation that you see in particular, or foundations that you see in this one section? Comprehension, someone said. That's exactly right. There's comprehension in there. Anything else? There's another. Geography would be under which foundation? I've had a hard time hearing it. State or something? Yeah, the state part, which would be one of your study skills foundation. It would be that foundation number 10, study skills. So here, just as you're reviewing for the lesson, you're covering comprehension, you're covering study skills. Take a look at the introduction, which is to the left of that. What did Pa order from Sears and Roebuck? What is an invention? So what do you see here? What foundation do you see here? Vocabulary. There's your vocabulary foundation. Great. Okay. Let's take a look at the lesson part of this. And you see first here, you see the review vocabulary. Well, there you go. There's your vocabulary foundation. Then you see the next part, children write words in ABC order. There you go, a study skill. Then you have children do Shirley grammar, answer in flow, and they circle the vocabulary word in each sentence. Well, here are the parts of speech foundation as well as vocabulary. Then at the bottom of that lesson section, it says children will read aloud chapter 2. There's your oral reading foundation. Right under that is your assessment section. And these include detail comprehension questions, which I won't read to you, but they're asking, they're questions that have, students will refer back to the book and answer. And then the bottom section is review, rethink, renew, reproduce. And again, there are comprehension questions. Comprehension, one of your foundational skills. And in this section, it says, John gets back at his brothers. What does the Bible say about revenge? Do you know where it says it? So here's some application of God's Word in this lesson. As you can see, the foundations are integrated. You don't teach, well, tomorrow I'm just going to teach vocabulary. And Wednesday I'm going to teach study skills. And Friday we'll do comprehension. No, you can integrate them in one day in all of your lessons. So take a look at your lessons. Do they include the integration of foundations? So let's review. Teaching a reading is systematic and orderly, based on the 10 foundations, and each of these foundations has specific skills and objectives for each grade, and they should be integrated in your lessons. Now, if you have knowledge of these foundations and you have a scope and sequence of skills, how does the teaching of reading begin? Well, you begin in kindergarten with those first two foundations, letter recognition and phonics. When I've entered schools, even the government schools, and for years have asked this question, do you teach phonics? What do you think they say? Yes. Yes, we teach phonics. Well, how can this be? Because children are not reading well, and many children are not beginning to read in kindergarten. Well, the teaching of phonics is absolutely essential, but it will only be successful if it is taught systematically. And not all publishers, even ones that we might be familiar with, approach phonics instruction systematically. It's not clear to students. And many times these phonics skills are instructed without order. So look carefully at your materials. Ask yourselves these questions. Does the sequence of instruction of these skills make sense? Look at it. Does it make sense? Would you understand it if you were a kindergartner? Will all these skills be reinforced each day? And that's important. Each day. Will a kindergartner today apply the skills that he learned 3 weeks ago? He must. If he does not, then the system being used is without order. What methodology is used to instruct these skills? Have the children memorized a method for being able to attack words, new words? And is this method being used every day? I recommend the Orton-Gillingham method, which is a multi-sensory approach, and it's extremely easy. If children have mastered consonants and they have mastered short vowels, then they're ready to read short vowel words. If they're given the word met to read, you should begin by asking them, what is the first sound in the word met? What is the medial sound in the word met? Eh. Blend them together. Meh. What is the last sound you hear in the word met? T. Blend it together. Met. Repeat, 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 reinforce, reinforce all of the time, and students will be trained to think this way all the time, especially when they go to, when they encounter new words. And remember, repetition is a part of the grammar methodology, so use it. Now, many programs will have your children reading quickly and may even utilize the Orton-Gillingham method, but they lack in giving students the opportunity to immediately apply newly learned skills, which results truly in poor understanding. Here's an example of what I mean. A student who's mastered the short vowel E sound as well as consonant sounds can immediately apply these skills to form words such as the color red or hen or met. Now, the mistake that many programs make is to neglect the application of the skills just mentioned. The publishers may have these children reading these words orally, and they might be doing a great job, but they do not have the children apply their knowledge in written form, such as dictation. This is vital, but it's often ignored in our programs. A child who can blend consonants and short vowels to form words such as red, hen, and met is ready to have the teacher dictate these words for him to write. They're even ready to write a sentence with proper capitalization and punctuation, a sentence such as, the red hen met Ben. Now, having the child write the words and sentences is really proof that he understands the skills that you've taught him. So make it a goal. This can really happen for all of your kindergartners, to be able to read and write words and sentences early in the fall. It can happen. Phonics instructed systematically with immediate oral and especially written application will yield solid results. Mr. Gregory has written in the 7 Laws of Teaching, the student must reproduce in his own mind the truth to be learned. And this is what dictation does. Now, the initial instruction can be accomplished as an entire class without groups, and that usually blows people away. What do you mean you don't have groups? But if the students are instructed systematically, there's no need to break up into skill-level groups such as the bluebirds fly high and the redbirds fly low. Although the teacher and the kindergartner assistant should listen to children read individually and evaluate them, as you'll see in the next in the following video. Now, during the first portion of the video, the children in the kindergarten class will be participating in dictation. And then you'll see a quick clip of a child reading with his teacher, and it'll be the fastest 30 seconds that you ever saw. But I also want to tell you, these kids were scared to death for some reason with this video camera in the room. And, I mean, their eyes are big and they're really stiff, so it's sort of funny. So you can laugh if you want. It's okay.
Boys and girls, we're getting ready for our dictation today. We are going to be practicing some things that we have learned the last few weeks in phonics that we'll find in our dictation. Looking up at our phonics chart, can anyone find the sound and tell me how it's spelled? The sound or. Okay. Skylar.
O-R.
O-R, like or in orbit. Good. What about the sound that says t?
Natalie.
CH. CH says, very good. We are also going to be looking for some consonant blends. And who can tell me what we always start a sentence with? Christian.
Uppercase letter.
Uppercase letter. And what always comes at the end of a sentence? Taylor.
A period.
A period.
Or a question mark or an exclamation mark.
Very good. We have to have an end mark. Very good. Get ready for dictation. You listen first to the sentence and repeat it after me. First you listen. Bill and Fran will have a snack on the porch. Now say it with me.
Bill and Fran will have a snack on the porch.
Now let's begin. Pick up your pencils. Okay. The first word is Bill. Now let's catch up to where we were before. Bill and Fran will have, finger space, a finger space. The next word is snack. Snack. Bill and Fran will have a snack. Skyler, are you ready for some race reading? Great. We're going to do consonant blend words today. So we'll start right here, and I'll get ready with the timer. Okay. Ready? Begin.
Slip. Slip. Black. Clamp. Slap.
Good job. Very nice.
Now, I want to tell you that that took place in April, so that wasn't early in the fall. But they can write those short vowel words and sentences early in the fall and do the, using the same methods and principles there. So let's quickly review kindergarten instruction. Letters and sounds of these letters are introduced. They are can be reinforced through song. Students blend consonants and vowels together to form words. Students read words, sentences, and short stories. And students write words and sentences from dictation with proper capitalization and punctuation. Now, to gain knowledge of the specific skills that you would teach in kindergarten and what the children should master before entering grade one, you can take a look at our scope and sequence, which is at the Rockbridge table. Now, when children leave kindergarten, all of them should have mastered the designated phonics skills before moving to grade one. But they can master these skills if they are presented systematically and with written application. In grade one, phonics instruction is still emphasized, and the remainder of the phonics set, skills that were not covered in kindergarten, are taught during the first 4 months. But now, phonics generalizations are emphasized. Phonics cards like this one are in our classrooms, grades 1 through 3. This is a long E card with all of the spelling combinations for this sound. And students memorize these. They memorize these through a chant. But they do not necessarily understand the reasons why the spellings are placed on the cards in a particular way. Their spelling words for each week reflect the phonics spellings and sounds that are instructed for that week. And all of this integration and systematic repetition, it yields reinforcement of the skills. Students continue to read short stories corresponding with their phonics instruction each week until all their phonics training is complete. And then, at least in our school, and it can differ in various schools, the introduction of novels and poetry can begin after Christmas. Now, should you break up into small groups to instruct phonics and literature in grade one, because this has been the educational tradition for years? Can you teach a group of first graders, whole group? Again, in my experience with the classical Christian methodology, the classical methodology, a scope and sequence of skills, and a systematic program, and if the students have mastery of the skills before moving on to the next grade, the students can be instructed whole group. If students master each objective and the instruction is presented systematically, they can learn and be taught together, and teaching time is maximized. Again, this is not to say that the first grade teacher should not listen to children read and evaluate them informally and formally, as you will see in the next portion of the video where they look scared to death again. During this video, you'll also see students chanting their phonics cards and participating in dictation. But it's different this time. Note how the children ask the teacher, which spelling do we use from this phonics card, as they learn how to write the dictated words. These children are aware that there are different spellings for that sound, but they will learn in grade 2, which are the initial spellings, the medial spellings, and the final spellings.
Let's begin. Class sound.
A.
Class spelling.
A mark, A monkey, A blank, blank, A Y.
Class sound.
E.
Class spelling.
E mark, E, E, E monkey, E, A blank, Y blank, I, E blank.
Very good. Class sound.
I.
Class spelling.
I mark, I blank, E blank, I, G, H blank, Y blank, I, E.
Class sound.
O.
Class spelling.
O mark, O blank, E, O, A blank, blank, O, W blank, O, B.
Class sound.
U.
Class spelling.
U mark, U blank, E blank, E, W blank, E, B.
Good job. Thank you. Okay, boys and girls, we are going to have dictation now. Please remember to listen carefully. You're listening for the first sound, second sound, and the last sound, asking the questions that you need to ask in order to find the correct spelling. Number one, the word is crate. Crate. He packed the crate carefully. Crate. Cake. The spelling for crate is A blank E. A blank E. Maddie.
For crate, is it C or C?
The spelling, the sound of in crate is C. Number two is sleep. Sleep. The children will sleep well tomorrow night. Sleep. Abby.
For C, is it E mark, E, E, E blank, E, E, A blank, Y blank, I, E blank.
It is E, E. The spelling in sleep is E, E.
Okay, boys and girls, turn to the title page of the book, please. And that is going to be the read that to us, please.
Ox Cart Man by Donald Hall. Pictures by Barbara King.
Let's turn to the first page of the story now. And Noah, if you would read that for us, please.
In October, he backed his ox into his court, and he and his family filled it up with everything they made or grew all year long that was left over.
Very nice, Noah. Let's turn the page.
Now, children should read orally versus silently in these lower grades, kindergarten and first grade, because they're beginners, and the teacher needs to be constantly evaluating whether they're reading accurately. Now, this can be done informally, as you just saw in the group on the video, and also formally, which should take place periodically, several times during a quarter, using an oral reading assessment. Now, many oral reading assessments are very subjective, and so this challenged us to write one that has more, it's greater in objectivity. In your packet, I've included a copy of an oral reading assessment, one for first grade, and then another one that's used for grades 2 and above. This seemed to work really well this year, but I welcome any suggestions from you. Various people send me things after this talk, and I'd love to see if you have something that is working. Now, to check for understanding of content read by students, written comprehension exercises should be given. You need to know whether these students understand what they're reading. This exercise can also reveal their written skills. Students should be able to write answers to comprehension questions in complete sentences in first grade with correct capitalization, punctuation, and spelling. They can use their books. Train them to go back and check in their books. Remember, we're rebuilding. Have all your students write, not just in first grade, in all of your grades. Have them write. Do not settle for fill in the blank or something that's easy for you to grade. Our instruction, again, should look different from our cultures. An example of the type of exercise I'm talking about is in your packet, as well as a detailed explanation of the types of comprehension questions for all great grammar students. But you should ask literal or detailed questions for the lower grades. For example, a question such as, where's Rabbit's home? And the student should be able to find and point with their finger exactly where the answer is to that question. Grade 2. Now, phonics skills are reviewed daily with Chance, but the children are working now to understand and apply some reasoning. Let's look at the long E card again. The order of the spellings, remember, was memorized in grade 1. But the goal in grade 2 is to have them understand why and when certain spellings are used. For example, in the word eternal, you hear the long E sound in the beginning of the word, and therefore you use the first spelling on the card. In the words feet, these, and seat, you hear the long E sound in the medial position of the word, and therefore you use the middle area spellings. And in the words baby and babies, you hear the long E sound in the final position of the word, and you would use blank Y and blank IE blank as the final spellings for the long E sound, the ones at the bottom. Now, second grade spelling list should correspond with the final phonics training, and dictation, of course, should continue. Oral reading of good literature should continue, but now silent reading can take place. Check for your student understanding and comprehension. Continue to do that. An example of an activity is in your packet. But how do you know if the reading level of the books in your room is appropriate for your grade level? Well, you can use Fry's Readability. There are other ones that are out there. I put a copy in your packet, but you can also get it on the web. But I want you to remember, though, is Fry our standard? No. Remember, our culture standards are different from ours. We're rebuilding. Now, how do you know if your students are comprehending the literature you read? Well, written assessments are necessary. That's for sure. We must do that. We want to see them write. But you can be correct in his answer or incorrect. You see, this involves the entire class. You're not just finding out what one student knows. You're finding out the whole class. And this also gives you a very good visual, quick assessment of their understanding and keeps them focused on you, too. They know, I've got to work. I need to keep working to keep attention and work hard. Now, the first part of the next video is an example of second grade students beginning to understand the phonics generalizations. The excerpt following it, though, is an example of students involved in answering comprehension questions and proving their answers as correct.
All right, boys and girls, let's do our long O card. All right, ready? Sounds.
O, long O.
Letters?
O mark, O blank E, O A blank, blank O W, blank O E.
Very good. All right, who would like to share with me a word that follows our O blank E card? Lisa.
Bone.
Bone. Could you spell that?
E-O-N-E.
Very good. So we have O blank E. Wonderful. How about our O-A blank? Molly.
Goat.
Goat. Could you spell that?
G-O-A-T.
Good. O-A blank. Very good. How about blank O-W? Ross?
Toe.
Toe. Spell that for us.
T-O-W.
T-O-W. Blank O-W. And our blank O-E? Trevor?
Toe.
Spell that for us.
T-O-E.
Very good. And what kind of words do we have here, boys and girls? Brianna.
Homonyms.
Homonyms. And what's a homonym?
Two words that sound the same, but the spellings are different.
And they mean different things. Very good. All right. Good job, boys and girls. Boys and girls, yesterday in reading, we read several pages from Runaway Ralph, and I'd like to review before we get started today. Can anyone tell me what Ralph was hoping that Garf would bring him? Leah?
Ralph was hoping that Garf would bring him a corner of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
All right, that sounds like a wonderful answer. Can we prove that answer from our book? Can we prove that answer from our book? Good. Austin, where can we find that answer? Do you have any idea?
On page 67, it says, then maybe Garf would come back. He might even think of bringing a corner of peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Very good, Austin. Thank you.
Now people ask me, where do you get those cards? And they're adapted, truly, of this, maybe some of you are familiar with the open court system. I adapted it from that, the old system, not the new one. Don't go buy that today. Anyway, when I was teaching in the government school, they told me to throw it away in the trash can after 1 year, and I rescued it. But anyway, it's adapted from that, and those cards are also on our table if you want to look at them in greater detail. Now, in grades 3 through 5, students should be well-founded in their phonics, fluent in their reading, and able to answer literal or detail-type comprehension questions orally and in written form with correct grammar, punctuation, capitalization. Hold them to that. It's during these grades, though, that students begin to answer some higher-level thinking questions, as well as literal types of questions. Students will be challenged now with these inferential type questions to provide answers that may not be easily found in the text. And examples of these are in your packet. Another means to evaluate comprehension and reinforce writing skills is the use of graphic organizers. These graphics can serve to evaluate whether the student is able to reproduce in his own mind the truth to be learned. They are also foundations on which writing activities can occur. Throughout your grammar grades, your students should be reading a variety of types of literature. When they finish fifth grade, you should have had them read, and this should be in your curriculum guide, divided up, poetry, prose, ballads, legends, myths, biographies, fables, mysteries, etc. Many types of literature, which is great, correspond well with the history period that you might study. So look for that. And this is another opportunity for integration. At this age, students should be participating in a greater number of writing assignments, which can easily, again, be integrated with their literature. And again, some more examples are in your packets that you have. When students enter grade 6, they are budding dialectics, aren't they? They change. They're different kids. And they want to steer ahead of those literal and inferential type questions onto even higher level thinking. They want to discuss these answers now and banter with one another. So allow them to do this. But also allow them to do this with great guidance, because they're not seventh graders, they're not eighth graders, and they're not quite ready for logic, and they don't know how to debate. So study your literature, though, and plan your questions with their frame in mind. The following video excerpt begins with this type of questioning that you can use in grade 6.
Good day, students. We're going to continue our conversations about Watership Down. We've been talking about whether or not Watership Down is an allegory, and you have really been thinking. Some of the comments I've heard are very sophisticated. Just to recap, let's recap and talk about the proposition. Is Watership Down allegorically offers comment on human society? Wow, that's asking a lot of a rabbit tale, perhaps, but perhaps not. If you say no, that it's simply an animal fantasy, then you need to defend that somehow by talking about what allegory is and what allegory is not. If you say yes to the proposition, then you have to demonstrate that Watership Down contains symbols, symbolic characters, symbolic events, and that's what allegory is all about. The third response, which some of you have already gotten into in most sophisticated fashion, and I'm very, very pleased, the yes-no possibility that Watership Down, in fact, maybe all literature, can be read at different levels, and that meaning can be read, symbolic meaning can be read into most anything we look at. So, let's continue our conversation. Tyler.
I think that, yes, it does contain symbolic characters because it shows an obvious hierarchy of the Chief Rabbit, Grover, maybe Sierra. There's an obvious hierarchy of the Chief Rabbit, then the outlaw under him, which is kind of like the governor.
Okay.
The police. And
remember, your duty as a sixth grade teacher is to prepare these students to enter into the dialectic years. So approach your literature with a taste of the dialectic. Give students many opportunities to write about what they read. For example, have students write several paragraphs of describing a character that they have just read. And these paragraphs should integrate some of your writing tools if you're using the Excellence in Writing program. But whatever you're instructing in the area of writing, they should be integrating this within this subject and other subjects as well. Give students opportunity to present what they have written orally. Our students at Rockbridge are trained in the elements of oral presentation beginning in grade kindergarten. You see, dialectic teachers should not have to train their students in the grammar of oral presentation. They shouldn't have to train them to look at people in the eye, to stand up straight, to look around the room as they speak. You see, they need to concentrate more and be concerned about the content and the logic of argument. So train your students in these elements before they get there. Our oral presentation guide, if you want to take a look at what those skills specifically are on the Rockbridge table as well. Now, train your students at this age level to take notes, train them to write outlines, train them to use multiple sources. Again, what's the foundation for all this? Do you remember which foundation that would be? Study skills, great. And train them to research a topic. Now, this isn't something that can happen all year. It takes a lot of time to teach them, but make sure by the end of the year they can research a topic, preparing them for the dialectic years. You see, all this can occur with literature as the foundation. Dorothy Sayers closes The Lost Tools of Learning with, "For the sole true end of education is simply this, to teach men how to learn for themselves, and whatever instruction fails to do this is effort spent in vain." As you teach your grammar students, focus on student mastery of the skills outlined in your curriculum guide, your scope and sequence. If you teach haphazardly, if you don't do this, your students will read haphazardly and they're going to write haphazardly. If you have students being promoted who do not have mastery of those skills from that school year, all you're doing is modeling our current educational system. You're doing what they've already done. But students can master these skills if you instruct them systematically and you purpose to incorporate the classical methodology of reciting, memorizing, singing, and chanting. So be committed to teaching the mastery. Be committed to teaching systematically. And be committed to learning and teaching the foundational skills of reading and then integrating them in your lessons. Think about the vision of our culture. in the area of reading. Bomb test sites, airports are being blamed as causes for why children are not reading today. And the reading instructional time, with the whole language approach, is being used to read and discuss social issues. Now remember our vision. We are teaching this generation to be wise, able to discern various worldviews, recognize false philosophies, to become godly leaders in our culture who will instruct future generations. This is why we're teaching reading and teaching students to love words and love God's word. Let's close in prayer. Lord, your divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. May the children we teach to read use this gift to love and honor you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a couple minutes, and if I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Okay, some of the copies, if you receive them later on when we ran out, they're incomplete. And so they have made more and they're at our table. They will be at the Rockridge table, so check maybe after the next session. They should be there. Yes. 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 You know what? I'm going to have to take a look at that. But I'd be glad when we finish, I'll grab it and talk with you, certainly. Yes. Okay, well, we have designed our own, but we do use, again, if you're here on Thursday with Excellence in Writing, the Excellence in the Grammar Program session, we write objectives. We have that scope and sequence of skills, what should be taught in each grade. And then we take resources. We use Sing Spell in kindergarten. We use their songs. We use some of the Open Court Black Line Masters we run off as practice little readers for them to practice. We use some of the Sing Spell little readers for them to practice if they've learned short E, the short E words in there. So we pull from different resources. In first grade, and we're working on it currently, our first grade curriculum, it's almost complete. And in that, we've written our own short stories and comprehension activities and so forth with that. You can do the same thing. Really think through your programs. Yes. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, yes. Certainly, absolutely. Teach penmanship and the standards for those. And, you know, we're very stringent and particular about that early on in kindergarten and first grade and second grade. And then, you know, they get to third grade and they just know that's the standard. We write neatly and correctly and then the principle is instilled in them as they move through the rest of the grammar grades that I need to be neat and it needs to be legible. Yes. Well, it's not necessarily a program, it's a method. And what I shared with you was basically it, the blending method. Yes, it's so easy. I mean, people used to use learn to read using the horn book with the Lord's Prayer on it and the alphabet. I mean, we don't need a whole lot of fancy things. I'm sorry I didn't get you before. Yes. Okay. She's homeschooling and has a students finishing first grade, you said, that's reading kindergarten who's reading Anne of Green Gables. So you're going to have that. You're going to have students in your kindergarten class who have been reading since they've been three and might be twiddling their thumbs. I would say, first of all, they're not going to be twiddling their thumbs because you're going to find a weakness somewhere in his or her life, whether it's handwriting that they have to work really hard on or math. But I think the proof, again, is how well is your child writing? Can your child write and answer questions from Anna Green Gables? See, that's the area to work on then, I would say. Certainly, you can give them, have them continue to read, even books of the of greater readability. What grammar program? Oh, there are a variety out there. I'd say most the Shirley grammar method truly uses the recitation, the chanting, the singing, all those things that's part of the grammar methodology. So. You know, we're going to find better ones throughout the years, I am certain, and you may have one right now, but that's what we're using anyway for right now. Yes? How much time do we devote you for reading? It varies in different grades, and in our curriculum guide, if you view that, after each grade, there will be a time limit that we have for each for the language arts. Just one for reading and grammar and so forth. Not that they're separate entities, but we try to have that much time. Yes. Okay. Very good. How important is it to restate the question and answer? You probably heard the teacher ask the child a question and she answered it in a complete sentence. I think it's extremely important early on, those early grades, kindergarten, they're not necessarily answering comprehension questions, but first grade, we train them, hammer them with this, because then they're speaking well. People ask them a question and they're speaking well. It's not just, yeah. And they're not answering a question. It's because he went to the store. They're thinking in complete sentences and writing well. Yes, back in the black. Yes. Okay. Do we screen for children coming into a school? Yes. And you must do that because you will be in deep trouble and have children of all levels in your classroom. Now, if you're a new school, that happens frequently. But as you grow in age, you should not have that happen in your class. Screen these children, test them. Look at your objectives for every grade and formulate a test that reflects what your school's objectives are. And you'll find that these children will be placed in the proper grade and you'll be able to move them through as a whole group. We do not have pre-K. No, and I think there was another question that you had and I just forgot. Okay. By the time they finish... End of October, they finished all of their learning their consonants and vowels and the sounds of those. Yes. Well, we generally don't send home reading homework. Try to get it done in class and train those students to work hard so they can get it done. So homework is at a minimum when they reach home. So generally it's not reading homework. Try to avoid that. Just get them to work hard. Yes. How do we pretest for kindergarten? We have, and our admissions director has dark hair. She'll be at her table. She was one of the speakers and on the panel up here the other day, Leslie Collins. She's our admissions director, and she'll be able to give you specific. In fact, I don't know if she has her admissions book here, but you can grab one of our cards off the table. I'd be happy to give you a copy or send you what we do, email you. Yes. What I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time understanding the. A kindergarten? Well, we're very you don't want them necessarily to guess. I mean, obviously, if they're trying to spell the word hen, and they might use an I instead of an E, and you work with them on that. But keep them within, you're just working on specific skills at a time. So if it's the short E sound, we're with short E, and maybe we'll review short A, we will. But you don't want to give them a whole lot of other things to think about. They are introduced with the sound, they read the sound, they write the sound. Next sound, do the same procedure. In the back, please. Well, I think I was going back to looking at that horn book and thinking, hey, it's not that complicated. We don't need a lot of boxes of materials to do this. And so I was thinking as if I had the horn book and just started from scratch and looked at some of the resources out there that we could use. I'm sure in future years it's going to change, as it should, as we're rebuilding and learning more. Yes. Well, again, then maybe they're not challenged in reading, but usually they're challenged in writing. And whether that may be, oh, they can write, but it's too fast, they're careless, you're not spelling things correctly. So there's other areas that you might be working on. It might even be a character issue, because I can read well, I write real fast and it's sloppy. You know, that's a character issue. So there's always something, it seems, with children who are advanced in one particular area or another that you're going to find. And ask God, you know, to reveal that and what you can do for them. Sometimes some children are almost perfect in that area, but parents may help you with that and ask for their suggestions too. Yes. We do that, and we can use bookmarkers, yes. It's fine to do that early on. I think that's fine. But gradually, you're going to want to wean them away from pointing and using, you know, the markers. Some children, though, need that, and that's okay, too, to do that. There are some that have that weakness. Okay, if you have other individual questions, I'd be glad to answer them up here. And thank you very much.